You're listening to SBS News.
On Sunday, April 28th, 1996, Dr. Brian Walpole was returning home from work at the Royal Hobart Hospital when he received a call.
We'd been running a trauma course for junior hospital staff, and that had finished at about 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And I had, I drove home, and I lived down the river. I just arrived home to have a phone call from the hospital, so I needed to return at once. And I arrived at the hospital to find that there was an enormous amount of organisation going on, because nobody knew at that stage, nobody knew what we were receiving, but the evidence was something pretty big.
Before the Port Arthur massacre, Dr. Walpole's medical career was defined by gun violence.
When I started out in emergency medicine, which is in 1975 in Melbourne, I vividly recall this 24-year-old woman from Yugoslavia who had been brought into the emergency department out of blood and dead.
The woman, a mother of two, had been killed by a man who was practice shooting in his backyard. Dr. Walpole knew Australia's gun laws needed to change.
And together with a few mates in the AMA, we got together the things that we thought that were wrong about guns from our professional medical practice. And we put that up to AMA.
But that policy would remain dormant for more than 20 years, until Port Arthur. The killer took a semi-automatic rifle and walked into the village and historic site of a former prison colony in southern Tasmania. 35 people lost their lives and 23 others were injured.
We had that policy sitting there, and every time there was a massacre, we'd pull it out and talk about it. But because gun control was a state issue, we couldn't get any traction. So then, the day after Port Arthur, the Tasmanian Premier, Tony Rundle, called me and Roland Brown, who's a lawyer in the Coalition for Gun Control, called us into his office. And I had a copy of the policy, which contained licensing, registration, safe storage, a cooling off period, no automatics or semi-automatics, and no handguns. We had that written down. I gave him that. And that, in fact, turned out to be the basis of John Howard's gun control.
Rebecca Peters was one of the driving forces behind changing Australia's gun laws after Port Arthur. In 2016, she was appointed an officer of the Order of Australia for her work.
Well, as soon as I heard about the shooting at Port Arthur, I was just shocked like everyone, but then I quickly realised it must be a semi-automatic weapon involved because of the number of people killed.
Just 12 days after the massacre, Australia changed its gun laws. The reforms included a national buyback scheme, firearm registration, a 28-day waiting period, and strict gun storage requirements. But Ms. Peters is concerned that in the 25 years since the tragedy, those reforms are now under threat.
Because the National Firearms Agreement obviously was made very quickly, the agreement was that the states would reform their laws and to meet a certain standard, but there was nothing put in place to make sure the laws are maintained. And so there's no federal mechanism, there's no underlying federal law to make sure that the states don't change their laws.
She says the anniversary is a time for younger generations to remember those who died and preserve the gun laws.
A lot of people, especially young people in Australia, don't realise that there was a time when we had mass shootings in Australia. They don't realise there was a time when assault weapons were widely available, and they don't think about gun violence as a problem in daily life in Australia. And it's good. We don't want people to have to think about gun violence. We don't want to be like America, where kids have to be taught what to do if someone is attempting to murder them in school. But that the fact that they don't think about it means that the laws are vulnerable to being eroded while no one is watching. I guess I would like Australians to remember that there was a time when we weren't this safe, and the fact that we are safe is a reason to maintain the laws as strong as possible, and in fact to fix some of the loopholes that are emerging.
Sarah Maunder, SBS News.